Galatians. We're in the third chapter, going to be looking and ending out at the end and ending out that chapter this evening. Galatians chapter 3. It's good to have Christopher and Brenda with us this evening, and they are two of my students from... It survived to some of my classes over at Independent, and they are a joy to have in class. And their church had an early afternoon service, and they are not goofing off this evening. They are getting extra credit, which they like, right? Extra credit is a good thing for being here in the service tonight. Let our little ones be dismissed for children's Bible time, second grade on down. Mr. Frank. Necesita ayuda? No? No? ¿Es bien? ¿Esta noche? Okay. You get the night off. Are you happy about that? Okay. In Galatians chapter 3, I draw your attention to verse. Let's start at verse 24. We're going to be specifically looking at verses 26 to 29, but let's start at 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And there you have that emphasis again, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by baptism. Is that what it says?
No.
That we might be justified by works.
No.
No, that's not what it says. That we might be justified by, what does it say?
Faith.
Faith. Justified by faith. That's what it says. I respectfully have to disagree with the last. Isn't that a crazy thing to say? Who is speaking here? What does this? It's the Word of God. And God very clearly says we are justified by faith. After faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by baptism. You're all the children of God by works. Children of God by what?
Faith.
By faith. That's what the Scripture says. You're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In the church? No. In your works? No. In baptism? No. In Christ Jesus? It's just pretty clear. Why is that important? You'll see in just a moment. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now you should get, baptism is important. This is not talking about baptismal regeneration, that you are saved by baptism. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Now, Jews are saved one way, Greeks are saved another. That is just not Bible. It's not true. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. There is no superiority, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs, according to the promise. This morning we talked about inheriting that. We talked about the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom of heaven. We talked about that this morning. And tonight, Galatians just builds on that. In the passage this evening, the law cannot give man a new nature. It cannot. Only faith in Christ can. And Galatians, the churches, plural, at Galatia, had gotten in trouble because they had let leaven slip in. And this is so very, very important. We had a couple visiting this morning and mentioned that they had been in a church that had allowed leaven to come in. And it was a mess. And the pastor didn't want to deal with it. I'll just tell you, we just deal with it. First thing I do is I identify the person and I talk to them. I say, you know, you're welcome to attend here, but if you start pushing false doctrine, you are not going to be welcome. It's just not going to fly. And then I alert our deacons that we have somebody in the congregation that is coming in here maybe on a Sunday morning or Sunday night that espouses to a different doctrine. And when they see, and they typically do, it's what the devil does. He isolates people, gets them off in the corner and starts talking to them. I said, you see that person isolate one of our, especially one of our younger members, you should go right over there and just listen to the conversation. And if they're pushing false doctrine, you need to step in and say, you are not allowed to push false doctrine, and the church is not allowed to do that. And that doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And it is important for us to be vigilant. And so if you see somebody that's new, you don't know, and walk over and just, listen, you don't have to say, excuse me, is this a private conversation? Just go over there and plant yourself and listen to what is being said. If something is not right, I need to know, and we need to be able to deal with that. Why? Because we learned in Sunday school, a little leaven, a little sin, a little false doctrine, man, it'll ruin the whole church, the whole lump. And so that's very important. So Galatians is contrasting that true salvation. The churches at Galatia had allowed that little leaven to come in. And now in chapter 3, verse 1, Paul is saying to them, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? It's almost like they're under a spell. And it's important to beware of false doctrine, because salvation, here's the title this evening, is by faith in Christ Jesus, and there is no other way. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening as we do Bible study. And for many of the folks in the room this evening, it'll be a reminder. But for some of our young people in here, the battles will be in the future for them. Long after I am gone, they will still be battling the same things. We are battling the same things that the churches in Galatia battled. And we need to stand strong, we need to stand true, and we need to make sure that our faith is built on your word, and not the word of man. May the young people, especially in the room this evening, be attentive to the issues that will be addressed this evening and purpose in their heart that they will stand for truth in a world that is corrupt. And churches, many, many times, that are absolutely corrupt. We'll thank you for what you do in our hearts this evening as we pray to you and seek your face in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's read the text again, starting at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. So in the margin, if you like to take notes, especially if you're a young person, you should write, I have an abbreviation. I have the abbreviation UFOG, UFOG. And that stands for a false doctrine that is still prevalent in the day and age in which we live. And that is the universal fatherhood of God. Which brings the next abbreviation, which I have right under that, UBOM, the universal brotherhood of man. And what is that? Well, basically it says that God is our Father. God is everyone's Father. Universal fatherhood of God says that God as the Creator is the Father of all spiritual beings, and everyone is God's Son. You ever go to a funeral that is of ecumenical, there are just many faith groups, and you don't know who the pastor is, it's not a Baptist funeral, you'll hear this phrase said, we are all God's children. What is that? That is the universal fatherhood of God, which leads us into the universal brotherhood of man. And that is, if you believe the first, then you're going to go to the second. It's not a leap to go to. We are all brothers and sisters due to the universal fatherhood of God. Now, they call themselves, sorry, Theo, where are you? The Theosophical Society. And I saw that. I just had to highlight the first part of your name. And in my day, in my younger days, it was the hippies' dream. We were all brothers, and they were smoking all kinds of wacky weed and stuff. It seems like we've gone to that a lot today, a lot more of that. And they were just saying, oh, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we don't need to worry about God or sin or salvation. God is our Father, and we're all going to be okay. So, you've written that in your margin. Underneath that, you should write this reference, John 8, 42 to 45. And we're going to go there. Keep your fingers in Galatians chapter 3, and let's go to John chapter 8, verse 42. John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, the Lord Jesus Christ, if God were your Father, ye would love me. What is he saying? There is no universal fatherhood of God. He is personally condemning that false doctrine. If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. They were not spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit was not convicting them from the inside. They did not understand Bible truth. Have you ever talked to somebody about Bible truth and they just look at you like the lights aren't on? Man, I don't get that. I don't see that. That's dangerous. But ye cannot hear my word. Why? Verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil. And what does that say? There is no such thing as a universal fatherhood of God. There is no such thing as a universal brotherhood of man. And you should absolutely put this reference in John 8. You should point back to Galatians chapter 3. And Galatians chapter 3, you should point back to John 8. And somebody starts to talk to you about that, you should understand those terms. And again, you should understand, even when they don't say universal fatherhood of God, when a person says, we are all brothers and sisters, all God is Father, we are all God's children, it just does not agree with Scripture. Ye are of your father the devil, verse 44 says, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And they would not hear it, even from the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be no surprise to us that Jesus Christ himself said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This morning in Sunday school and in the morning service and in the 8:30 service, I mentioned Brother McKay had an interesting event happen in his life. And so I'm going to take the center mic and Brother McKay is going to come up and do a little preaching himself this evening. Come on, Brother McKay. They heard it from me. I thought it would be good for you to hear it from the horse's mouth. And I'm not saying you're a horse. Step right up close to the microphone. Speak up loud.
Well, it was an adventure over the Labor Day weekend. My friend died who was 85, and I'd known him for 40 years. He hired me out of college to go down to Florida to the aerospace community down there. And I'd known him for those 40 years, and he died. So his daughter called me and said, you don't have to go to the funeral if you don't want, which I really didn't want because it's down in Florida. But that was his funeral, so I would go. And I, at the end of the conversation, I said, you know, your dad was really curious about the Bible in his last year. And we had a couple of discussions. And, I think he may have come to Christ, and I think you could be encouraged with that. And she said, oh, of course he's going to heaven. He was a nice man. Of course he's going to heaven. And I thought then, they don't have a clue, and so I've got to go down there and say something. They didn't ask me to say anything. I volunteered, and then I had a week of agony where the devil kept telling me, you don't need to go down there. You're going to say some little thing. Who cares what you say? And it was I was nervous. It was tough. But, you know, when God comes through for you, when he answers prayer and is with you on things, boy, does that help? Does that ever get you ready for the next one? And he did answer my prayer because one time I spoke at a funeral, my throat choked up. I couldn't say a thing. And one time I was super emotional. And then the worst thing, I didn't want to forget anything because I wasn't going to carry any notes. I was just going to go up there. And so I went down there, and at the appointed time, okay, anybody else want to say anything? And so I spoke, and I said funny quotes and stories and to these scientists and engineers that would appreciate what a great guy this guy was. But then I said, he wasn't very religious, but the Bible says that's not how we get to heaven, is it? So the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I said, then I went on and said, for it is by faith you are saved, by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself, not of works, that lest any man should boast. I don't think I got that perfect, but I did then. So it really shocked them that I would say anything spiritual. And I said, I didn't just sit down after that. I said, we the living need to believe that. And I didn't say he didn't believe it or not. And actually, I wish that I had taken the time to talk with him more. I thought I had plenty of time. We don't have plenty of time, do we? We better get to it. But he was coming to Christ. I know he was, because he kept asking. He believed the Bible. But I just thank God that I was able to say the gospel to them. And the crazy thing is, I sat down and the pastor had his sermon right after that, and he did an audible and said, I have to respectfully disagree with the previous the previous speaker. And I was so shocked that all I said was the word of God. And yet he had to, they were Lutherans. And I since found out that they believe, and he said, baptism is sufficient. He said, I have to respectfully disagree with the previous speaker. Baptism is sufficient. But I think some people heard the word of God from what I said, and I'm not sure what they're doing with it now, but the Lord planted it in their heart, and that's what I'm praying for, is that he would use that in their heart.
What denomination, I think?
Lutheran. And it's a big church, a fancy church, lots of stained glass and robes. And my friend never really went, didn't go to church. His family did. But they did not hear the gospel. It was his daughter, who's gone to church all her life, that said, oh, yeah, he's a nice man. He's going to heaven. So I just praise God for it.
Yeah, amen. Good. So what did he share? He shared the word of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Lutheran minister got up after he got done and said, I have to respectfully disagree with the last speaker. You wonder why I don't fellowship with Protestant ministers. Baptists are not Protestants, for starters. Because they left the Roman Catholic Church, but they took their doctrine. You say, now, preacher, you shouldn't bash on the Roman Catholic Church. I'm not bashing on the Roman Catholic Church. I'm exposing their false doctrine. Because they bring a scripture like this, and they try to push baptism in there for salvation, and they are fraud. He's fraud. And I have nothing in common with him. I don't want to encourage him. If he's talking to people about the Bible, I hope he gets lockjaw, because he is not leading them to Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, and there is no other way. That man is not my friend. He may be a pastor, but he should maybe study his Bible a little bit more rather than Protestant doctrine. We are identified by baptism. Baptism identifies us. After you get saved, you should be baptized, not for salvation. So when a child comes up to me and says, I want to be baptized, so we talk about what saves you. Does baptism save you? They go, oh, no, Pastor, baptism is... Why do you want to get baptized? And so they have a variety of different reasons. And I explain to every child and every adult that we can't see your heart. Man can't see your heart. But God chose a way that everybody could do, that the richest man in the world and the poorest man in the world could both do the same, because there is no difference, and there should not be. And that requires humility. There are adults that won't get baptized because they don't want to humble themselves before a congregation and identify with Jesus Christ. But we should. We should. Here's what gives me pause as a pastor. We had several visitors in the room this morning, and I tried to engage each one of them, and you should, about salvation. So you should do it at a funeral, at a public thing, but when you see some guests in here for the first time this evening, I would have absolutely no problem with you if you said to them, "What's your church background? Tell me how you came to know Christ." And that should be just a normal conversation of what we're engaged in when people come into church. What's your church background? When did you come to know Christ as your Savior? And listen to their testimony. It's an exciting thing. But here's what gives me pause. When I talk to somebody in church, and hopefully not one of you, but I've heard it in this room where I've said to somebody, "So tell me your testimony. Tell me how you came to know Christ." And it starts with this. "Well, I was baptized when..." Man, all kinds of bells and whistles go off, because that's baptismal regeneration and you are not saved by baptism. The Lutheran minister notwithstanding. He's more Roman Catholic than he is a Bible believer. And that should give you pause. That gives me pause. When you hear somebody say, one of your children say, "Well, I was baptized when..." You are not saved by baptism. You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And it is so important to hear the testimony. And sometimes it takes 30, 45 minutes just to get the person around to a Bible reason for salvation. That gives me pause. If you're starting out your testimony with, "I was baptized when I was 18, 17, 15, 16, 72, that salvation is not through your baptism. We were out soul winning several years ago. The man is, he has gone off into eternity. He sat here, sat back in this corner for many, many years. We were on his street knocking on doors, and his door was coming up next, and I took one of our soul winners, and I said, "I want you to go to..." That was my door. I said, "I want you to go to that door right there, and I want you to listen to that guy's testimony." And so they went to the door, they recognized him, and said, "Hey, how are you? Share with me your testimony." And they got done. They came to the street. They said to me, "Pastor, that man's not saved." I said, "Yeah, I don't think he is either." They sat here. I witnessed to him. I talked to him. They witnessed to him at the door. They talked to him, but so shut off to his own demise that he, as far as I know, he never came to Christ. I sat down with people that have sat in this room and told me, "Well, I got baptized when I was..." And after hearing their testimony, I've said to them point blank, say, "Pastor, you need to be more blunt. Tell me if you don't think this is pretty blunt. Based on what I know about the Word of God, I do not believe that you are saved." Is that pretty blunt? What would you say to me if I said to you, "Based on what I know of God's Word, and based on what I know of salvation, you are not saved"? Do you think that might upset you a little bit? Do you think you might get angry or mad or say, I am saved, I know I'm saved, don't you? Get a little defensive? You know, look right back at me and said, okay. Oh, okay? No, that's not okay. It's not okay. And that's why every once in a while you need to go home to your family and listen to their testimony. And you need to listen, not as somebody who just so much desires that they have that they are saved, but knowing what salvation is by grace through faith in Christ, and listen to what they tell you. And again, if the first word out of their mouth is, "I was baptized," that's a frightening thing. Because baptism will not take you to heaven. Baptism does not save. Union with Christ, verse 26, you're children of God, only one way, by faith in Christ Jesus. That's it. That union takes place immediately. Baptism is that public testimony, outward testimony of an inward change. It is saying to the world, I have trusted Christ and I am not afraid to be identified with Christ. You're putting on the uniform, if you will. A soldier has a uniform. I remember after 9/11, Bill Cain said he was riding a metro station and he put on he's an Air Force guy, and they had, you know, Pentagon. You know how those Air Force guys are at the Pentagon. He put on his battle uniform. I called him his play clothes. I said, "You put on your play clothes." He said, "Yeah, I just wanted somebody to bump into me." he was a soldier, and he was not afraid to be identified as a soldier. He goes 7-Eleven tonight. 7-Eleven employee has a smock on. Says 7-Eleven. He's not afraid. As a matter of fact, the requirement of his employment is that he puts on the uniform of a 7-Eleven employee. Now you go to McDonald's and they wear a smock. They wear a shirt that identifies them as an employee of McDonald's. If somebody was in here all dressed in brown and had brown shorts on, they would be an employee of UPS. Yeah, I mean, we would know that. That's their uniform. They are not afraid to be identified. And if you have trusted Christ, but you have never been baptized, why aren't you putting on the uniform? Why are you afraid to be identified with Christ? So we're looking at several false doctrines that come up as a result of these verses. Number one, the universal fatherhood of God, false doctrine. Number two, the universal brotherhood of man, false doctrine. Number three, baptismal regeneration, that baptism takes you to heaven, absolutely false doctrine. A fourth one is 20 years ago. We had a special guest in, Dr. James Earls. He, a black evangelist, and he was colorful. He was a hoot. And he embarrassed his wife. And you go out to eat, and he was always saying something to somebody about salvation. He was not afraid to take over the whole establishment. We were down in McDonald's, and we were sitting down to eat, and a person, he just seemed to attract crazy people. And this person came up and addressed him, and he immediately went into salvation. And the guy mentioned that he had been baptized, and Brother Earl had baptismal regeneration. He had no patience with him. He said, "You're a Campbellite, Campbellite." And I'm thinking, Camelites? Isn't that a cigarette? I think he just called the guy a cigarette because I had never heard of that before. And you tonight may have never heard of the universal fatherhood of man, the universal brotherhood of God. You may never have heard of baptismal regeneration. You'd never heard of a Campbellite. Well, I learned something, which is why every year, a couple of weeks out of the year, I go back to school because it's important to learn and to know what's out there. He was a Campbellite. So he got done. I looked at Brother Earl and I said, what's a Campbellite? He said, not a Camelite, a Campbellite. Now, what are they? He said, they're baptismal regenerationists. Now, they're people, they speak in tongues and they think that's a sign after they've gotten baptized that they've gotten baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, a bunch of nonsense. They're false doctrine. And I learned something that night. There's a lot of false doctrine out there, and we need to pay attention. One extreme is to say, you're saved by baptism. The other extreme is to say, since I've been saved by grace, I don't need to be baptized. And you should be. again, you should identify with Christ. Don't go to the extremes. Mark 16:15 very clearly says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And we talked about the gospel this morning, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on that this evening. But the gospel definition is the same everywhere it occurs in Scripture, and it doesn't change with the context. It sets the tone for the context. That the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It seems like that should be common sense to a Bible, Christ-following believer. But Baptist churches are changing their doctrine when it comes to the gospel. They say every time it occurs in Scripture, it's a different meaning. And there are many different ways of salvation, not just through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, leaven sneaks in, and if you're not careful, you'll just shake your head and go, "Oh, well, that's interesting." And you have just turned a deaf ear to false doctrine. And that leaven, little bit of leaven, wrecks the whole lump. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Here's an interesting story. Mafia boss Antonio Montella. He was a drug trafficker and mafia boss. They did all kinds. He was a head of a crime family. And he was charged with drug trafficking. And he was sentenced to 5 years in prison. On the day that he was supposed to show up to start serving his 5-year prison sentence, he disappeared. And so they've been looking for him and wondering where he was. And while he was away in hiding, he thought, "I should turn over a new leaf." And there was a Protestant, Lutheran, baptismal regeneration type, and every day he gathered out in the water and he baptized people for salvation. And this mafia boss said, I'd like to turn over a new leaf, and I'd like to be baptized. And so he went down to the water, this mob boss, and went down in the water and got baptized. And people were taking pictures and they were taking video, and then they posted it to the internet. And the authorities watched him get baptized, and they said, "That's the mafia boss that's supposed to be in prison." And then they looked in the background, and you can go on, those of you that like to fact check me, you can go on and you can see his picture, and you can see in the background, you can see mountain ranges. And so they identified him through the picture, and then they focused in on the mountains behind him and identified the body of water that he was getting baptized in, and then they went and arrested him. Why? A little bit of preacher humor. Baptism does not save you from jail. Baptism just does not. Baptism only identifies you with Christ, or in his case, as a criminal, and they came and locked him up. I just say that because if you think you're getting to heaven by your baptism, it only identifies the Christian, does not give you salvation, and you will be sentenced to serve your time. What is time? It's called death in the lake of fire. We are looking at verse 28. "We are indeed one in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ." In this passage, another false doctrine comes up. This is not talking about leadership. But people take this passage of Scripture, and this affected a church in our region, a Baptist church in our region, just recently. They say that women can be pastors because there's no different, male or female. We're all the same. It's talking about salvation. It's not talking about leadership. So just about that direction, just about a mile as the crow flies, there's a big high society, a Baptist church that was ordaining pastoral leadership and allowing them to be on staff. We had a man here on Sunday morning, maybe 8 months ago, and I said, "Hi, how are you? What's your name? Where are you from?" And he said, "Well, I'm from the big Baptist church over there." And I said, "Well, what brings you here this morning?" And he said, "They're ordaining females over there." And he said, "I don't know much about the Bible, but I know that ain't right." And then they made the news this year. They got booted from the Southern Baptist Convention. because they're ordaining women. And they take this passage. This passage is not talking about ladies in leadership and church leadership. It's not. But there is no distinction when it comes to salvation. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. It's the same Lord over all is rich unto all that come call upon him. For whosoever, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Pharisee would pray this, I thank my God that I am not as other men. This publican, they would pray as if they were superior just because they are a Jew. But you're knocking on doors, you're hearing this as well as I am. I don't need the Bible, I don't need Christ because I am a Jew. I am a Muslim. I am a Catholic. I am a Lutheran. I am a Baptist. Being a Baptist does not take you to heaven. Being a bishop as a Baptist does not take you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And when it comes to salvation, there is no difference. Jew gets to Christ the same way. The Gentile gets to Christ the same way. The slave gets to Christ the same way. The free man comes to Christ the same way. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. All can be saved. Christ died for all. It has never been for one race, or one group of people. God has never been willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the spiritual access is the same. There is one mediator in Christ. Salvation and spiritual access without the law, by grace, through faith. But again, beware false doctrine. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In Sunday school this morning, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Herodians. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. Beware. Church at Thyatira, the number 4 church in Revelation, they had embraced the spirit of Jezebel. It is still alive and well. Somebody sneaks in, a little bit of false doctrine. The Judaizers here were sneaking in false doctrine, and it affected not one church, but it affected all the churches in Galatia. What we do matters. What you believe matters. What you follow matters. It must be God's word. And they were resoundly rebuked in verse 1 of chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? This week I was given a CD by a Mennonite preacher on church history. I thought, boy, it'd be interesting to listen to a Mennonite guy address his church history. And they trace themselves to the Anabaptists, which was a negative term to identify people that refused to accept infant baptism for salvation. And so somebody would come and they say, well, how did you come to know Christ? Well, I've always been a Christian. No, him. Well, I got baptized when I was a baby, and that's how I know it. No, I didn't. And they would explain to people that were coming out of Roman Catholicism or coming out of the Protestant churches what salvation was. It's by grace through faith in Christ. And it's not because you were baptized as a baby or baptized as an adult. It has got to be through Christ, faith and trust in Christ. Just what Brother McKay shared. And so people were getting saved. And then they would say to the people, you got saved, now you need to get baptized. Well, I got baptized as a baby. No, that's infant baptism. This is believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is totally different from infant baptism. It takes place after you've trusted Christ. And so they were getting baptized. The Protestant and Roman Catholic churches called that re-baptism. We didn't consider it rebaptism. We still don't today. One faith, one baptism. They were never saved. They got wet, but they had not been baptized. An infant cannot espouse faith and trust in Jesus Christ. An infant cannot be saved. Cannot make that decision. So anyways, he said this, and this is a quote. There is no discernible difference between the Roman Catholic Church and the Reformation churches. The Reformation churches protested the Roman Catholic Church, but they kept the false doctrine. And this man right over here is living proof of that this week. He went on to say, there has always been a true group of believers that believed in salvation by grace and salvation to follow after. 2014 in California, a baptismal regeneration church was having a baptismal in the Pacific Ocean. There were three men out in the ocean, the pastor and two others. A rip current caught them and took the three of them out to sea. Two of them swam to the outside of the rip current and made their way back to shore. The third man was never found. Those waters of baptism would not save them. They perished. He perished. 2018, South Africa, another church that does baptismal regeneration. There were three, again, in the water, and two of them to be baptized. I'm going to guess the third man was the minister. A rip current came and took the two baptismal candidates out to sea. The minister watched them go. For some reason, he was not caught up in it. A third person jumped in to save them, was an avid swimmer, and swam out in the rip current to save them. None of the three survived. None of the three survived. All perished. If you're trusting in salvation by baptism, you will perish as well. You've got a 100% track record of taking people to hell. If you believe, your family believes, that salvation is by works, you're going to perish. There is no salvation in works. You think it's your church that's going to save you. So I ask you tonight to hear the testimony of those that you love. And if their testimony starts out with, I was baptized, I'm a pretty good person, I think I'm okay. Anything other than Jesus Christ, it ought to give you pause. And don't be afraid to look at that person you love and say, based on what I know of God's word and salvation by grace through faith, I don't think you're saved. And if you hear that from somebody tonight, you ought to be asking some questions. You definitely should not be saying, okay. That doesn't even make sense. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're here this evening, you're adult. You know you're on your way to heaven. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're a blood-bought, blood-washed child of the King. Your testimony is going to start out with, I came to know Christ when I was 77. I came under 10th conviction and accepted Christ and Christ alone. But you haven't heard the testimony of your children or your husband or your wife. Say, well, they always go to church. I know they're saved. You haven't heard their testimony. But tonight, you're going to set some time aside to listen to their testimony. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm going to take some time this week to listen to the testimonies of those that I love. And I'm going to take tonight and your challenge to be that motivation to say to them, Pastor gave us this challenge and I want to hear your testimony. Would you share how you came to know Christ? Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm going to do that this week. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Yes, ma'am. Good. Yes, sir. Good. Good for you. Yes, ma'am. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm going to pray for you folks in just a second. I'll tell you, probably 20 years ago, after a challenge, similar challenge on a Sunday evening, one of our ladies left the church. Her husband was deployed. And on the way home in the car, asked her children to share their testimony. And one of her children did not have a testimony. She came back, came here to church, said to me, Pastor, you need to talk to this guy because he doesn't know Christ, doesn't have testimony. And I said, You know Christ. Lead him to Christ. You're his mother. And she did. She led him to Christ. And we celebrate a parent having the love for their child. And you might recognize the name, Zachary Dam. Zachary is here tonight as a man saved and serving because a mother had the courage to hear the testimony of a teenage son, a good fella, a right fella, a Bible-knowing fella, but a fella without a testimony. Hear the testimony of your children. Father, I pray that the adults in the room, those that name the name of Christ, those that are confident in their salvation, would do exactly that, and that we would hear the testimony of those that we love, be able to identify those who are not in the faith, and be able to lead them to a faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I pray that as you promised, all power is given unto me, go, that power this evening would be upon those in the room that do exactly that and go with the gospel message tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this evening. You do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And your testimony would be tonight, I'm trusting in baptism, good work, church membership, and this is the first time God is really speaking to my heart. I'm under conviction. Your palms are sweaty. You're holding on to the pew. You're just praying the preacher will stop and let you go. It's called conviction. God is speaking to you. Are you listening? You say tonight, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for a moment. Let me recognize you and pray for you. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano is playing. If you want to come to the altar and pray for God's power to be a witness to your family, you can certainly do that at the altar this evening.